Welcome to Improv for the Podcast. On this week's episode, we'll hear from Annie Sertich and Mindy Sterling all about their improvisational journeys. Let's hit it. Welcome to Improv for the Podcast. On this week's episode, I'm joined by Annie Sertich and Mindy Sterling. Annie, Mindy, you're groundlings, actors, writers, incredible performers, and friends of IFTP. How are you both doing this evening?
Good.
Good.
The whole episode will do.
Yeah, perfect.
You have to start that with everything we say.
Okay, yep. And each answer too, just good.
Yeah, everything's great.
Then up an octave, right. Up an octave. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of improv we got to get into. But before we do, I'd love to start, Annie, if we can start with you. Just a quick summary of kind of your relationship to IFTP or maybe how you met Matthew Moore.
Through Mindy. And through a witness protection program.
I understand.
That's how I know Matt. No, through Mindy. And I knew of him. And then maybe you had a party.
Probably.
And
I invited him.
No, he just crashed.
I think he does that a lot. Sometimes I am not in a party mood.
And yeah, we just became pals that way. And then I knew him a bit. I knew he was in the ground, had been in the Groundlings, and he knew was in the improv community. And then slowly, and you had more parties, and you would have parties where things would happen, and Matt and I would be the only two people who were like, no thanks. So we'd be like alone in a corner, just like kind of judging.
What would happen?
Things. I don't know. People got weird. So then he invited me to be part of the community, and I've performed a handful of times, and with you, and I've enjoyed every single time. I've done stuff in costume here as well, not just improv shows. And then he's recently helped connect with the owner of the Pico Theater, and I'm teaching some classes here about navigating the commercial industry, booking commercials, auditions, improv for commercials specifically, because it's different than stage. And so I feel really grateful to be part of this awesome group.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I'm curious about those activities that you and Matt were sitting out of. But that's up to Mindy if she wants to share. Mindy, what about you? What's kind of how did you get to know Matt or IFTP?
I know Matt. Matt, he probably has a much better recall of how we know each other. But he lives near me. Or both of us. And he's seen me, you know, walking around or whatever. So we started talking. And the big thing for me was that I was doing a, trying to make some money for leukemia lymphoma. And that was, I was kind of, you know, that was my thing for a while. And I said to him, oh, no, that wasn't, wait. No. Yes, it was.
It
was my thing to do. Yes.
But why was it your thing? You mean you were doing fundraisers?
I was doing fundraisers.
You were also Woman of the Year. Hello.
Well, I was just gonna say something about that.
Oh, I gave
your
credits before.
Your
okay, great. No. I'll be doing all of Mindy's work.
Yes.
I'm also her manager.
Excellent.
So the first time they had asked me to do it, I went to Matt and I said, hey, what could you do to help me? Because, you know, you're so good at coming up with things and doing things and being involved and we love each other and da da da. And he says, I know what I can do. I'm going to have, because I thought, oh, he's stand up. I'm going to have a stand up show and I'm going to put, tables there and drinks. And he made it so like wonderful and special. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And he goes, but you have to, he said to me, you have to host. And I went, okay, I can do that. Anyway, he put together some wonderful people that he knew. And it was awesome and wonderful and great. This was at the West Side Theater in Santa Monica. And we just connected and we just never, I mean, we adore one another. So when he told me about this, what he was doing here, I was like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. And like I'm still to this day in awe of him. Everything he does here, what he's done, how he's come from, you know, he is so good at setting things up, getting involved, motivating, all of that kind of stuff. So I have taught here. I have done shows here as well. Did not wear any costumes.
Not yet.
But I just think what he has done, and he has made this incredible thing with ITP. IFTP. And I'm just like, I'm such a fan of his.
Also, in case you get lost, it's written right there.
Oh my
That's
God.
True. That's right there. Right there on that sign.
Yeah.
Well, then I'd have to.
And we have a few more neon signs, believe it or not, in
it
the theater.
Be right over here, where nobody can see it but me.
That's
but
true.
Anyway, so he's just we walk together. He's my date sometimes when we go out somewhere. Mm. He's just one of the most amazing people that I know.
Mm. I have to agree.
I think we all do.
Thinking about the growth of this place he talks about, we were doing classes in an old prison. That's how it started out. And then
looking
at where it is now, about, what was that, 15 years ago when things got started? Incredible to see.
And he's funny. And he's very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so real. And he really loves doing what he's doing. He's always busy, but he loves it so much. And I find that to be, you know, very special.
Definitely. I think this is a place he's poured his heart into and continues to every day. I'm also picturing now, Mindy, you were just on a walk and Matt saw you out his window and he's like, oh, that's Mindy Sterling. I'm going to go talk to her.
Yes, that probably happened. Or somehow he'll hopefully have a better, recall.
It wasn't through the Groundlings?
No. I mean, he was taking classes in the Groundlings, but no, I think it was just, I'm probably completely wrong, but I think it was just, we just saw each other, and then, because he had said, oh yeah, I was at the Groundlings, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's the first time I ever met Mindy outside of the Groundlings, was on a walk in Santa Monica. I had
there
a day job. I was mostly working in the office and I had the day off and I said, I am going to take a walk. And I was walking and this woman with a red, just old fanny pack, short shorts, very tan, a visor, was power
Sounds
walking
like a great
on the
look.
Bluffs. And I was like, that's Mindy Sterling. I was a student at the Groundlings. That's Mindy Sterling. Oh my God, that's Mindy Sterling. And I passed her and I went, hi. She goes, hi. And then she just kept walking. And I went home and I wrote in my journal, Mindy Sterling said hi to me. I am going to be somebody. Well, later when I've been on walks with this woman, she just says hi to everybody. So it had nothing to do with me at all. But that is how I first met you. So I do think that Matt probably met you on a walk.
I do. I really do think that. Because we still walk and stuff. But we just live so close. And just kind of the way it was.
Yeah, that's amazing. Annie, just to think it was like that moment, and then look at you now later, like your friends, you're both here together.
Yeah, like, I know.
Oh, well, our friendship, really,
we have a story for you.
Ooh.
No, we don't have a story, but we have been
a tall tale.
Up and down and all around.
Mm.
Well, I was, because I had gone through a divorce, and then...
I mean, do you want to know this?
Yes.
Maybe later.
Yes, I'd say.
The show has a format, man.
That's true.
I know, but we can. We have so much time.
Okay.
I know. No, so we can edit.
Yeah, but we
have
a lot of time.
Oh, we got so much time. Hours. 6-7 hours. I'll say, let's tease it there. The origins of your relationship.
Right.
The fanny pack story. I mean, that alone. I'm hooked. I'm in.
Right.
So before we get into talking about improv, how the two of you met, and so many other things. Oh, we got to play some Three Things.
Yes, we do.
All right. So Three Things, have we both played before?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we usually play it tipsy.
We play it tipsy, and it's Five Things with Matt.
Mm.
And we just laugh and giggle.
That sounds...
We do it
that sounds
at
perfect.
Restaurants and things.
That's where you should be for playing this.
I do it on all dates with men.
I think that's a great idea.
I try to do it with my son, but he's like, Mom, no.
I don't want to list just things for you. Yeah. I think non-improvisers, they're not always into this game. They'll be like, why?
But they,
why?
You know what? I've had people, I've pushed them into it and they love it. And they, like the first, if it's five, it's like the first three are not very good. And then the fourth is a little bit better. And then the fifth one, it's like, it's hysterical.
Mm.
They just have to let it go.
They get it. Yeah. It clicks. And then they stop thinking so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's all it's about. It's just gray spacing, whatever comes to your mind. All right. So with that said, let's play some three things. Okay. Mindy, I'll start with you, and then we'll go Mindy, Annie, Mindy, Annie, back and forth. All right. These are three things.
These are three things. Yeah. These are three things.
All right. All right. Let's get into it. Mindy, your first category, weekend getaways.
Norman.
One.
Normandy. the back of my bathroom.
Two.
The water of the sea.
The water of the sea. Beautiful. All right. Next. Annie, your favorite horror films.
Don't go in that room.
One.
Don't go in that room. Part two.
Two.
Oh my gosh. My top fell off.
Three.
These are three things. These are three things.
All right, very nice. Mindy, back to you. Your favorite on-set snacks.
Oh. Are we doing three things again?
Oh, we're doing three things.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, say it again now.
Your favorite on-set snacks.
White bagels.
One.
Cheese.
Two.
And donuts with sparkles.
Sparkles. Three. Very nice. Annie, same category to you. Your favorite on-set snacks.
Gushers.
One.
Go-Gurt.
Two.
And... what are those things called? Gummy bears.
Gummy bears.
Oh, the G's.
Well, I was thinking of all just things that would get stuck in your teeth.
Yes.
Very true. Very true. All right. Last category for you both.
Okay.
Mindy, your favorite projects that you've
worked on. You should start with her first.
All right. Annie, you're up.
It's his podcast.
No, I know that, but you're sitting there thinking of, because you're going to get the same thing.
No, but last time I got different. Horror was different.
Go.
Okay.
That's true.
All right, ma'am.
All right. Your favorite projects that you've worked on.
Favorite projects that I worked on?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
One.
So many of the different commercials.
Two.
And Silicon Valley.
Three.
Oh, this is supposed to be real?
It's a mix. It's a mix.
I mean, that one I felt like...
This one is real.
And, my top fell off.
Thank you.
This one's the most real. The other two, you know, it's fun. All right. Mindy, same question to you. Favorite projects you've worked on?
Austin Powers.
One.
Austin Powers 2.
Two.
Austin Powers 3.
Three. These are three things. All right. Very nice. Very nice. Oh, man. All those G snacks. Oh, goodness.
I know. And
Gushers.
I don't even...
You don't even really eat them.
No.
I know.
I don't know.
That's just a sticky mess. That's all I thought. Oh, white bagels.
Instead of what? Multigrain?
They have multigreen. They have all kinds. Yeah.
Around St. Patrick's Day, they have green ones.
They have all, yes, they do. They make them.
Oh, what accent is that?
I don't know, but they make them.
And kind of an Australian.
Scottish because I'm totally into the Scottish shows. But they talk like this. They talk like this. This is everything ends like this. Yeah.
Amazing.
Mindy will teach an accent class here at IFTP.
God,
all right, perfect. Can't wait for it. I mean, we just heard like two of them right off the bat. So at first,
we are teaching a class here together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us about it. What's the class?
Ladies' Night.
Ladies' Night.
And, you know, if you identify with the word lady, you are invited. And we're just doing a 3-hour improv workshop jam on your feet to one... Well, let me just backtrack to say we saw a trend in teaching. We've both been teachers for a long time that sometimes you defer to bigger, more dominating energy or quicker energy, or you hang on the back and you think too long. And we saw a trend that had happened in a lot of our female identifying students. We both had an old teacher named Cynthia Seghetti, and it was something she got out of me torturously by saying, "You have girlitis. Stop it." And I want to connect that in, you know, like a social experiment to the fact that the class clowns were boys when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And the good girls had to sit there. Also, you know, I had a grandmother. You couldn't wear jeans in our house. You just had to be like the good girl. So I found it was harder to be messy. So whether or not that trend is changing in younger people, I hope it is, but we saw a trend and we got asked by a lot of our students, like, where else are you teaching? Where else? So it was the perfect blend. IFTP on a Saturday night, the 27th of April, it is sold out, but we're going to do more. We're going to do more. And also Mindy is very inspiring. And and she's such a great teacher that I wanted to set up something a little bit for her. So this is my altruistic moment for you. But I just, like, she was such a great teacher to me. And she was so inspiring. And Mindy has a way of also being direct without shaming or blaming or making you feel bad, but in her funny way, with a little bit of frow behind her, she can get you to go, yeah, come on, what are you doing? Why are you hanging back? Why are you thinking? Mm. And so we're going to do a lot of those drills just to get that out of.
Yeah, because I think women, too, are just on stage, you know, even if it's two women, and one of them is a bigger, you know, has a bigger boisterous way of attacking things. And then you're like, well, I don't know what to do. So I think it's really empowering women to say, stop being so shy, stop being scared. And you are, you know, paying the same amount of money as blah, 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 or this or that. So get up there and do the best. And Cynthia was her big thing was, you know, to get in there. You're just as important. What are you doing? Why are you holding back? You know, why are you always crying? It's your characters. So she was awesome.
That was your lane. Crying woman.
Mindy, stop. I'm sorry. I just got a little bit. No, I don't think I cried, but other people did. Mm. But
what are you waiting for, Annie? Get in there. Yeah. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
And she wasn't wrong. I was waiting to have an idea rather than going out and finding the idea through the actual tools of improv.
Just letting it happen.
Yeah.
And we teach very similarly.
I've
had so much shit. That's nice. So we work well together because we have the same way we were taught. And really feel very, it's really important, you know, for you to be a team player. It's important to listen. I mean, all this stuff that you're taught, but not everybody, after a while, everybody kind of gets a little sloppy with it. Mm-hmm. And so we want to go back to it and make people feel good about themselves and do the best that they can. And, you know, when we love women.
Yeah. That.
I mean, you know, not, you know.
I hear you. That sounds like a fantastic class, because I think, Annie, what you were saying about kind of based off how you were raised, right? Boys were like the classroom clowns, like allowed to be sloppy, where for women, like growing up, that wasn't always there. That space wasn't available to them. It was like, you can't be that. You're not that. And just the sound of this class is like, hey, we have a space for you. You can come and learn how to do those things and like take command of the stage like you should have. You're allowed to be up there. You're allowed to be messy. That sounds like an incredible class.
And there really is. I don't think there are classes, you know, with just all women.
I've never heard of anything like that.
Or maybe all men. I don't know. Yeah. But this was something that we love our ladies, and we want to show them that they can do it, and, you know, and help them and guide them. And boy, and they just, when she put it up there, you know, to pitch it or try to get people to come, it we got like so many, like within, you know, like 2 days, it sold out so fast.
Oh yeah. Y'all are going to need to have a bunch more of these. I think it's going to be extremely popular.
I also want to say too, that I noticed also in some of my students that there was like the helpers of the scene, the do good. I want to get the who, the what, the where, the why out. I want to get the checklist. And so sometimes we, again, if we identify in the woman space, we're the moms, we're the babysitters, we're the teachers.
I was always
the caretakers. Yeah. And the funny doesn't always happen in that, in being the workhorse. So how can you pull back? How can you step aside and go, great, I can establish who we are in the scene without, hello, nurse, I have your results because I am your doctor, rather than have a seat. The doctor will be in soon, but I'd like to give you your results. Like, we can discover that a little together, or the scene could even be pulled back even further. Where are they? In a hospital. We just look at each other. So it's also helping some students, maybe that they're not shy, but they're used to being the workhorse, or they overtalk, or they, so we pull them back. So what's fun about working with Mindy, and again, being your student, Mindy has a great way of going, this student needs a little sprinkle of this, this student needs a little sprinkle of this, this student needs a little sprinkle of this. And it's just innate in who you are. And so in one class, she can really, someone can come forward, someone goes back, it's really great. And I've learned that from you.
She's really great too. I've watched her, and you're
better.
Yeah, okay.
You're better. Well, and you're older.
And I'm older. A lot of,
you're my elder. Yeah, okay, well, I have your results. I'm the doctor. Your results.
But I think that made, I mean, she came up with the idea, and I was like, on board immediately. because I really do. I haven't been teaching regularly at the Groundlings. I did teach here a little bit, and but I really miss it. I really, really miss it. And so to be able to do it with her, and we have the same, you know, kind of way of looking at things, I think it's going to be really, really good.
I think so, too. I think y'all got a hit on your hands.
Yeah. That's your accent class.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. And I think a great opportunity for the students at IFTP or students from other schools to come on over, visit,
They
join
just have
class.
To have a like a, the basic of improv.
Yeah, kind of those basic rules.
They just have to have the, we're not there to teach them. You know, like the first time.
They got
to
know.
Like if you took a class in college or you did it in your acting program, you don't have to have taken a 6-week course, but enough that you understand the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Yes, and who, what, where, those sorts of things. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm excited to hear how the class goes, and hopefully we get some more soon.
Yes.
All right. So I want you both to think back. And I think Annie, we'll start. We'll start with you. Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
I left my stopwatch at home.
Oh my God.
I know. Ugh, other backpack. Annie, we'll start with you. I want you to tell me, when did you first hear about, learn about, see improv? When were you first exposed to it? The idea of it? Maybe it was at school.
Oh, what kind of improv?
Just improv in general.
Oh, I thought you said see improv. I don't know.
Mindy, this is my question.
That's right. Well, I was worried for you because but I it's didn't a question. What the hell?
It's a question for you both, but I'll have Annie go first.
Ohio College, a flyer that said the show The Real World that was on MTV, we're doing a improv version at a local basement theater in this adorable, eclectic little nook outside of Cleveland. And I went to a Jesuit college and I was studying pre-law and everything felt very much on track. And then I had done dance as a kid, a little bit of theater, but mostly dance. Like we would do Peter Pan, but just the dancer version. We would do West Side Story, but just the dancers. I had a lot of that, but I'm from the Midwest. I go be a lawyer and that's what you do. And then that little flyer was there. And it was, whether I knew it or not at the time, but it was like you created a character, seven strangers picked to live on stage where they have their lives performed on stage.
I love
and
it.
And it was a
that.
Midnight theater.
Oh.
So I had two other friends at the time and they were both straight edges. I drank a little, but they didn't drink. So they were like, let's go do cool shit. And so we all went to audition. And I was like, I had a little bit of a crush on one of them, but, and he knows that and he will never listen. I said, okay. And we went and auditioned and they didn't get it, but I got it.
Ooh.
And I just didn't know there was something that wild and scary and, I wasn't very good, but I just kept coming back for more. And then I took another class at the Cleveland Playhouse. And then I left it for a long time and then graduated college and blah, blah, blah. But that was my first little snap. I'm done.
Wow.
What about you, Min?
Yeah. Oh, I thought he was.
Oh, no. Well, I figured.
Oh, you were just going to. Okay.
It was a ping pong.
All right.
Annie's right.
I'll just tap of you.
Good instinct.
I'm from Miami, Florida. So that's where I was raised. And my dad was he was a singer and an actor and blah, blah, blah. So that, you know, was in, I think, a little bit of my blood.
Yeah.
My mother was, you know, dance. I was in dancing in school and blah, blah, blah. I did a lot of theater. I got involved in theater. I think it was the sixth grade was my first inkling of it. And I just loved it because it was like, oh my God, because I was kind of shy. So this was, oh, you can be a character. Oh my God, I can do that. Because I didn't think Mindy was strong enough. And so I did a lot of theater. I came out here, as far as improv, I came out here, got into theater, community theater. I was Dainty June in Gypsy. And a lot of other things. I did a lot of, I was in company. But then somebody, oh, there was a flyer somewhere or something. It was something that I read that it was about improv, and I thought, oh, it'd be kind of interesting to try that. And I went in, and I guess I don't remember, but I guess you had to audition or you had to do something. Blah blah blah. They put me right into the big group, the group that I would think that you'd have to have a little bit more training to. But so, and then I met several people from the Groundlings that were also doing the Groundlings that were in this group. And they said, oh my God, you have to come. You got to come to the Groundlings. You got to come to the Groundlings. It's like amazing. It's amazing. It's like, and I was really nervous about it and da 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 da. And then I took another class. I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
I just fell in love with it. And then I went to another, somebody else who was a coach, not a coach, but there was a teacher. He was teaching Bill Steinkellner. He was teaching his own thing. So
co-creator of Cheers.
Yes, creator of Cheers, yes.
No biggie.
So I took classes there. And then, these were all these people that I was in, George McGrath and Melanie Graham and all these people that were at the Groundlings and doing Judy Toll. And so I just kind of kept following that path of that. And finally, they said, the director at the time at the Groundlings had also subbed in classes and he'd seen me and blah, 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 blah. And when it was time for me to like, oh, I have to audition, I guess, for the Groundlings, because everybody did, he said, oh, no. I've seen your work. You're fine. So I didn't have to do basic. I just did intermediate and then advance, and I got in, and I loved it. I loved the whole thing. I loved the idea of it. I just had the best time. It was so me. It was, I could be really big and broad, though I have learned to settle down a bit, and now I'd much rather do improv than anything on a script.
Wow.
Because I feel like I can make things alive and I don't have to think. I'm not really a good thinker. I don't remember things. So, so that is just, I love it to death. I love the art of it. I love how it just makes you feel. I love laughing at people when I know that they're doing improv and things come, like just, you know, three things. I love, you know, watching.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, three things, the vacation in the back of your bathroom, right? That right there. That's amazing. And I think hearing about your story and kind of your start in improv, I mean, it just sounded like to me, you were just like, every opportunity that came up, you were just like, yes, we'll go do it. Let's try it. So-and-so over here is teaching a class. Great. Let's go experiment. Let's see what they're doing.
I guess I was really brave back then.
Yeah.
I wonder if I would do that now. Yeah. But, you know, trying to get to doing something, all of a sudden you're like you're fascinated by it, and to be like, oh my God, I'm gonna, because I wasn't married then, I don't think, but everything was just all about, I can't wait
yeah.
I can't wait to
what's
learn
that
more
next
and
opportunity
more. And yes, and wear costumes and wigs. I love wigs, and I would always wear, I'd always, all my characters had a mole somewhere, and you know, I mean, it was just wild. And I remember I never thought that I was good as some of the other women. I didn't think that they liked me as much, but you know, after a while, I found out, oh, they do like me. Okay,
maybe I'm doing all right at this.
Right. Yeah. I'm doing what I should be doing. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think, I mean, a mole is a great like aspect of a character. So, by all means, yeah.
I've seen a freckle or two, also.
Yes, but these were like black. You know, it was like a black pencil, you know, and I would always do something and it would be like, oh, I think she would wear it right there. I was obsessed with that. There were a couple of times I took blacks and just my teeth all icky ugly. I was always ugly.
I did a character when she was just like on two Xanax when she shouldn't, and she had to be part of a presentation. And I decided to just put a little bit of tape in her hair. And it was these little things. When you do long runs at the Groundlings, yeah. you do 6 weeks, 7 weeks. At the time, it was like 14 weeks of the same show. You have to find ways to surprise yourself.
Yeah,
keep and it you fresh. Have to find ways to also not get predictable about where you think the laughs will be. You start to fall out of love with your characters a little, so then you have to fall back in love with them, or you're kind of in a space, and I'll do a show and I'll look at Mindy and I'll be like, okay, tell me a funny word to say tonight on stage, or tell me how to reinvest in this, or vice versa. So
we would go around right before we get on stage to do improv, and we'd be like, okay, Annie, your word that you have to come up with and use in some way, shape or form is leather.
Yes. And yours is bubble wrap.
Yeah. And so we would try, very seldom would I ever use.
Yeah.
I would not. This one, yes, she got it.
At some point on this podcast, Michael, you have to use the word Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack. All right.
Cracker Jack?
He has to use the word Cracker Jack at some point in this podcast.
Okay, I love it.
Okay.
But it has to, you can't just.
Yeah, it's got to be organic. Okay. Yeah. We sometimes do that at our shows here, and I have not once hit my word during the performance. Yes. I go, oh, your word's cinnamon or, you know, whatever. Oh, boy. So we'll see how tonight goes for me. It might go unsaid from this moment forward. All right. Annie, jumping back to you. Mm-hmm. So last we talked, you were in Ohio. You were on the MTV Real World Improv Show in a basement somewhere, which I'm very much in touch with that. I've done a lot of shows in places that shouldn't have been theaters, but were. So I relate to that very much. How did you find your way out here to L.A. to the improv scene?
Service work. I lived in East LA. I worked on Skid Row. I don't know what's the right way to say it. And I worked in job placement for unhoused homeless folk. And I did that year of service and then thought I was going to whisk away to law school. And I
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, she's really smart. Don't get me wrong. I mean, my God, you're smart. But I think about that. That could have been...
Yeah.
Who you were.
Yeah. As I started working, I stayed working in social work after that year of service. And I found that working with like runaway kids, but 18 to 22 was like more my niche. There was something that there was still like hope. And so I went over to a place called Covenant House, California. It's a huge shelter up in Western and Santa Monica. So then I worked in social work for 2.5 years and I stayed here. But I still thought, oh, I'm still going to leave.
Yeah.
I'm still going to leave.
Yeah, after I do this.
Yeah, I'm going to go to law school. There's a whole other story about law school and the LSAT, but that's for someone else's podcast.
It's for the law podcast.
Yeah, that's the law podcast that I'll be doing. Yes, 1-800-ACCIDENT. I do that podcast. Oh. So I definitely stayed. And I, that's the short answer.
So you stayed. Stayed in LA.
I stayed in LA.
LSAT, see ya. You probably saw all those like Sweet James billboards and were like, maybe this is the place to be.
Yeah. Well, I had done a little volunteering with a high-end law firm, like super, super like John Grisham style, like the firm in that book where it's like money, bitches, cars, and, you know, alcoholism.
Yeah, all that
stuff. And then I did some public service volunteering and it was like Aaron Brockovich and it was overworked and it was depressing.
Yeah.
But a
overworked,
lot of it
underpaid,
was
yeah.
that someone said to me, you're just a social worker in disguise. Don't go to law school. You're just a social worker in disguise. And I took issue with that for a while. But someone said, come to this improv class. And I had a day job, but it was everything that I looked forward to every Saturday, 10 to 1:30 in another weird basement where somebody probably smelled like Mountain Dew.
Oh, perfect.
And, you know, there's always one creepy guy. And I loved it. And it reminded me of being in the basement in Ohio, but it had that same thread of like danger, excitement, out of the box, and like that little sparkle of, could I actually do this? And still the answer was no, I couldn't. So that needed to happen later. But I fell in love with the art form. Yet I would drive home hating myself. Mm-hmm. Why did I do that? Why did I only play cheerleaders and ballet girls? Yeah. That was so stupid. But I had an instructor say, and his name was Stan Wells, and he said, well, tell that voice when you get the idea later, rather than going, oh, I should have, go, oh, I'll just do it next time. Mm. So then I became just such a lover of improv, and I went and watched a bunch of people that were from Saturday Night Live, writers from Saturday Night Live, some of the original Whose Line Is It Anyway guys, the original, one of the creators of Simpsons. Like, I was around a big improv community, and it became my social scene. So it was that weekend class, which then I would go and watch the Masters, and then I... All of this pre-Groundlings, pre-Mindy, pre-Fanny Pack Red, you know, taking a walk day. And then, I've never left. And I've never gone to law school. Mm. I mean, there's still time.
There's still time.
There's still time.
Hey, tomorrow is a new day.
That's right.
Yeah. I think just you talking about that conversation you have with yourself on the way home from class.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, right?
I think every improviser can think back to that moment.
Audition. You know? I mean, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
It is what we do with ourselves in the car. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's just, you're sitting there, you're alone with your thoughts, and be like, and you think back to all these moments where you're like, that didn't go how I thought, or why wasn't I funny there? Why would I do this? But just that shifting of your mindset, I think, like that teacher, Orson Welles, which, like,
that was what I came up with, too.
Yeah, Orson Welles. Like, wait,
Stan Orson Welles had, like, a theater. He had a bunch of different theaters and such, but it was right here in on the West Side as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was called the Empty Stage Theater.
Empty Stage, ooh.
Yeah. And it's since not here anymore, but it was on Veteran and Olympic or Pico. Oh my gosh, it's
Pico.
Pico.
Yeah.
And we're on Pico.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, we're
friends for me. Let's go to it right now.
Let's go.
Yes. Let's pack it up. amazing. I think, Orson. Oh, I'm thinking of War of the Worlds. I don't know.
The World of Worlds, yes.
Yeah. Oh dear. Okay. So Mindy, back to you. So you're doing improv. You're saying yes to these opportunities. You get involved at the Groundlings. You're taking classes. You quickly move your way up, it sounds like. At what point for you, and I think this question is for both of you, but Annie will get to it. You're doing improv. And I think there was a transition or a point where you were able to take your improv work and turn that almost into a film, acting, television career, or kind of add that into the improv work you were already doing. What did that transition look like for you, Mindy?
I had agents, and I still, you know, I had representation and stuff. So, and you don't know, you know, how you're going to use your improv. I always ask now, can I improvise? Because some directors don't want that. It's like, they're writers and da-da-da. So, but you also, you come across... the world of improv. You come across with the funny people that we know. After a while, you start to know people or see people or go to another show, or they come here and they see. So you're constantly involved. And I taught. I had a regular job, and I remember they called me in and said, so you've been taking a lot of time out for commercial auditions and stuff, so we just need to know which one you want. Do you want to work here? And they were always really... They seem to be very successful. Century City.
Like at a mall? Or
no,
like
it was in a store.
Were you a lawyer?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm a lawyer. Isn't that fun?
Wow.
No.
Senior billboard.
It was a company that, I don't know how to explain this, but.
Porn.
It was porn. But it was a company. I was the receptionist.
That's hard to explain.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm
folks,
not.
If you're listening at home.
I was a receptionist.
There's something called a receptionist.
A company.
It's hard to explain.
Do you want me to tell you? Oh, I probably forgot now. So it was something where I had, the people that were there, they worked on commercials, like putting commercials on during shows and stuff. And I don't know what you call it. But so I was there. But I waited for a while before I told them, or a couple of the women that were working there, going, I'm kind of an actress too, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and they were like, oh, okay. I said, so I just was wondering if it would
be okay. Wait, can we paint the picture? She's blonde, Michael, by the way.
I'm blonde.
You're blonde.
Blonde, curly hair.
And what was your voice like at the time? I'll be one of the women.
Well, it wasn't low.
I work in television.
It wasn't low. It wasn't low. It was definitely high. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm busy putting commercials on programming. We don't really know what this company is called. Yes,
I don't
what
know
do you need?
Either.
What do you need, ma'am?
And
Mindy?
So what I'm saying is that... I would like to go out on commercial stuff, but then I would come back and I would work. I would do,
can you
all,
do it
blah, blah, blah.
During your lunch hour?
Yeah, you would do it or,
can you
or try
pick me
to.
Up a
you
granola
can't.
Bar while you you're out?
You can't do it like, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
So So I knew it, they were off. They were fine for a while.
Okay.
Fine for a while. And then he had called me in, and I went, oh, no, I'm going to have to leave because that's what I want to do. And I remember, you know, I didn't cry in front of him. And I remember turning around and walking out the door. I was sobbing, but quietly. And I left. And I didn't know what to do with myself. It was like I had to make money. I wasn't married. I didn't know, you know, I mean, my parents always helped me, but I needed to make money.
Yeah.
And so at the Groundlings, Cynthia Seghetti, who was running the whole school, said, all right, you know what? You're going to teach. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do that. No, I can't. I can't stand in front of people and do. Oh, yes, you are. Mm. So she got me involved in teaching. And it took a while. And I remember in the beginning, I don't remember what it was, but I made a lot of mistakes on some of the exercises. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure how to, you know. Anyway, I loved it. I loved teaching. And, you know, and I just got better and better and better and better and better. But yeah, it was like, we all had to work. We all have to work. Yeah. I didn't think I was going to be good as a waitress, so I didn't go that route. I was my mother said, my whole family was very, very, very supportive of me. My mother says just one thing, please take a class, typing class so that you have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
And I did. I'm not a great typist because I'm always making mistakes, but I was just a receptionist. I love to do things like, hi, welcome to, hi, this is Mindy. What can I do for you? You know, I mean, oh, hi, Tom. You know, I was just perky, perky, perky.
I can see it.
I know.
I can see it.
I know.
Can you give Michael a list of your illustrious students?
Oh.
Or like I'll name one. Will Ferrell.
Nope, he wasn't a student.
Oh, great. Well, I've already.
Good start.
Okay, so I had Sherry O'Terry.
Oh, yeah.
I had Keanu Reeves. Wow. I had, who's the girl? I can't think of her name right now, but she did that movie with him, with someone, and she was a mermaid.
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah.
Oh, Daryl. I know Daryl Hannah.
I had Jan from
Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, one of the other students came up to me and said, Mindy, you know you keep calling her
Marsha.
Oh. No, it wasn't Marsha. It was the other one.
Cindy?
No.
Alice?
No.
Bobby?
Peter?
Greg? No, it was the other
Greg.
One. It was Jan.
The little cousin?
Wasn't it Jan? It was Jan. That was a little.
Was it Oliver?
It was Jan, and I kept calling her Jan.
Yeah.
And it was like,
instead of her
I'm
real
so
name.
Embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. And,
character name.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so there's, yeah, and there's always people, coming in and whatever. And then I met, when I was, in the Groundlings for quite a while, I met Mike Myers. He came in, Julie Sweeney brought him in because of SNL. And, I think we were all like, oh my God. And I did a show with him, and he thought I was really, really funny because I literally knew nothing about anything. So the improv world to me was like, it's like, great, you're going to be a cyclist and you also like to read the newspaper about jails. But it would always be something that I would be like, and I got to make things up. And he just thought that was, because he'd always tell people, Mindy Sterling knows nothing. That's why I love her so much. Mm. She knows nothing about anything. And I just make it up. And So that was a huge connection.
Yeah.
I got the opportunity to do a show with Mike. He was, he had some ideas to do with Austin Powers, and we did it on the theater. We did it on stage. He asked a couple of us to kind of just helping around. I have no idea. I don't remember what I did. I just remember that he did Austin Powers. I don't even know if he did Dr. Evil, but I was just, I would just help service it. He was the star and blah, 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 blah. So we did improv and stuff. And then from that, I got to audition. And in the audition, it was just like, I was trying to do, you know, a German accent. I don't know how good it was because they all sound the same to me. And then,
Do you know where Germany is?
It's somewhere in the Europeans. Okay. Yes,
she's from there.
Yes, and then I met what's his name, the director,
Jay Roach,
and Jay Roach said, "Okay, just improvise now. You know this. You know, you have the sides, but just improvise." So I did the whole improvise thing about cereal. You know, it's Lucky Charms. You know, the kids love it. They think it's candy, but it's not. It's good for them, but don't tell them that. And I just went on and on and on, and he was laughing and blah, blah, blah. And I remember leaving, going as I always do. She knows this. Terrible. I don't know how to do a German accent. I was terrible. And then I waited for I guess a couple of weeks or something like that, and then they're like, "You got it." And I was like, this was like the first big thing because here I was with Mike, with Seth Green, with, what's his name? Well, Rob Lowe was later. Oh gosh, what's his name?
Ben Troyer?
No.
Oh yeah.
Well, but he was too, but anybody? No, why can I think of his name? He was married to, this is where I go crazy. He was married to Natalie Wood.
It'll come back to you.
He was married to Natalie Wood.
I didn't think of his face. I just don't know.
But he was a big star. He was a big star. Robert Wagner.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Wagner.
Heart to her.
Yeah. And then Mindy. And, you know, and of course, I mean, I just didn't do anything like this. And it was like, what the fuck am I doing here? And then the next thing was like, it didn't do well. When it first came out, and it did well on VHS,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the second one, I think I was in Hawaii with my ex-husband, and it was this call. It's like, "Hi, Mindy, it's blah blah blah, you know, producer, and what are you doing in October? Just wondering if you would be up for doing another Austin Powers." I was like, yeah, sure. You know,
I'm free. Yeah, I'll be there.
So it was a ride. It was the most amazing ride for me. And how that all it takes is something like that to then lift your status and who you are. And then everybody wanted me to do.
Yeah.
You know, a Russian or a German. Or, and it was like, I can't. They're all going to be the same. I didn't know how to make it different. It's like, I do other things. I'm a character actress. Blah, 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 blah. So I had to say no to a couple of things.
Yeah, because you wanted to spread out
Like, I already, that doesn't make sense. So, and then stuff just started, you know, kind of happening. And that's what it is. You know, all of a sudden, somebody gives you an opportunity to do something where it does well. I mean, I wasn't the star of it, but I was in something that did really well the second and the third time. And it was kind of like, oh my God, I'm in that. That's how it was.
And that's how it was. Yeah. And I mean, I think just you were, you know, an important figure at the Groundlings. I mean, you were meeting people, teaching people that maybe at the time you didn't realize what they'd become later. And then just through those relationships that you built, it led to so many other things.
Well, the great thing is when you're there and there's so much magic and there's so much going on there, and you will meet people, or people will see you. Sometimes we don't know who's in the audience, and we hear it's, you know, some big actor or actress or something, and they just came for no reason. They just came to see somebody. So you don't know. And I remember teaching Linda. Her name was Linda, and she was, remember the Larry Day, the Larry,
Herb?
No, not Curb.
Seinfeld.
Larry, he was a comedian. Drawing a blank. Larry Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
She was
yeah.
Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's a big comedian.
The Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah, but do you remember his name?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Oh, do I remember his name?
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
I know, but anyway, I know because I don't want to like, but anyway, she had come to me and she goes, "Oh my God, you were so funny. My boyfriend is doing the show. I happened to get you to meet him." I met him, and he said, he put me in as a writer, the only writer in the room, and I did, I don't know, maybe like three episodes. So stuff like that happens.
Yeah. It'll just pop up. Yeah. And you never know where.
You never know. You never know who is going to walk in. You never know who's going to see you. You never know who's going to, you know, be there by accident. You just don't, because the Groundlings has such a reputation.
Yeah, it's a web.
It is, absolutely.
Gary Shanley.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Gary, yeah.
Gary Shanley, yeah. And so it's, yeah, it is. Everybody wants to be at the Groundlings because it has a reputation. It has an incredible theater. It is. It's just been around since early 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, at least for me, in L.A., I view that as the premier theater. I mean, it's kind of what... to me, in my head, started the improv scene out here and made L.A. a landmark, whereas, you know, Second City in Chicago and Toronto and, you know, UCB
and
Groundlings in New York.
The Groundlings has stayed here and has kept it going even during the pandemic,
yeah,
where a lot of people had to stop.
Yeah, iOS closed down.
And
like
the Groundlings,
a lot of places.
People helped, but the Groundlings kept it going. And yeah, that I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely. That it was able to withstand. I mean, the pandemic was a brutal time for theaters.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't do anything. Yeah. Wow. I think something I noticed just from what you've shared, Mindy, is like that same mindset of like just continuing to say yes to opportunities that pop up. You never knew where they came from. Hey, want to come take my basement improv class? To like, hey, someone's a writer on a show. We'd love to have you come in. Like,
if it sounds interesting to you.
Your attitude is amazing. Fantastic.
You know, I'm kind of the same way with indie films. Mm. I love doing indie films because now I'm not going to make a lot of money, but I always ask, who else is in it? Mm. Will it be someone that I, you know, that has, you know, oh God, he's a great actor.
Yeah, I'd love to work with them.
Thing. How long will it be? And then last but not least isn't how much money will I make. Sometimes it's just that you want to work.
Yeah.
And if I can improvise, that's
an easy yes.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
My jam.
It's your jam.
And you use it in your voiceovers.
Yeah, I do voiceover stuff.
Yeah, a ton of voiceover work.
But I do, and it's great because I'm able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like too, with voiceover work, there is a lot of space for improvisation as well, because it's like, we're in here, we're in the booth, you know, like let it fly for a few minutes. Let's see what you find.
Yeah.
That's gotta be so much fun.
Really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of good stuff in there. Thank you so much for listening to part one of Annie Sertich and Mindy Starling. Tune in next week to hear part two.
Improv for the Podcast was created by Matt Moore and Michael Lee Evans. Edited and produced by Michael Lee Evans. And finally, presented by Improv for the People. Interested in more IFTP? You can visit us at improvforthepeople.com or on our socials, such as Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. Remember, new episodes are released weekly. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.